Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. I'm your host, Colleen. I'm a flute educator, a performer, and maybe your friend on TikTok, at Colleen Flute. Today's episode is all about your very first flute lesson. Whether you're a student about to start, a parent curious about what your child will learn, or a teacher looking for ideas to structure that first lesson, this episode is for you. This episode is going to feel like you're sitting in the studio with me. We'll go over what I typically cover in a first lesson, why I do it, and how it sets students up for long-term success. So let's get started. The very first thing we like to do is to get to know each other. Building a personal connection with a student is key. I like to ask students questions like, what made you want to play the flute? Do you have any favorite music or musicians? Have you played any other instruments before? That question is very important because if they've played other instruments, then likely they can read music and you won't have to worry about teaching them that. So that's a great way to ask that question without outright asking if they can read music or not. Sometimes asking straight up, can you read music, makes the student feel like they are somehow already failing or already behind because they don't know how to read music yet. So that's a nice way to get around that feeling. Next, I help the student open their case. It's important to keep an eye on their case, make sure it's not upside down and the flute isn't about to tumble out. Offer to show them how if the case is more complicated than a zipper or a simple latch. And I ask them to just get out the head joint. And it's a good moment for them to try to figure out which piece is called the head joint. Because I haven't taught them that yet. Many students are able to figure out which piece is the head joint, but some students are not, and that's okay. This is more of an exercise in reminding the student that music is about figuring a lot of stuff out for yourself. I like to find little ways to incorporate self-teaching and figuring things out on your own, because that is what is most helpful for students in practice sessions and in the long run. So maybe they guess right, maybe they guess wrong. That's okay. No tea, no shade either way. Regardless of which piece of the flute they guess to be the head joint, I tell them which one the head joint is. And then we take it out of the case and we try to make our first sound. Now, this is the most exciting part. I always have a blast as soon as we start trying to make a sound. I get super energetic and I have a really good time. So if you're a student and you're nervous about it, don't be. It's the start of something really special. So I will often demonstrate the embouchure, and the embouchure is the way that we shape our mouth and lips, and have students mirror me. You can do this in a number of ways. You can tell the student to say poo and then to hold their mouth in that position of saying poo. You can tell the student to pretend like they are spitting a piece of rice all the way across the room. You can tell the student to pretend like they're blowing over a soda bottle. Some students have done that before, some students have not. So that's not one that's going to work for everybody. And then there's the classic method of the kiss and roll, which is where you have the student press the head joint to their face with the tone hole in the middle of their lips, and they'll keep their mouths closed for this part. And then you'll just have them roll it and blow until a sound comes out. And by roll it, I mean we're rolling it down so that the tone hole moves further away from the face. I guess roll forward is another way to describe that. Gosh, Colleen, making it more complicated than it needs to be. Rolling it forward slash away from the face. And blowing as they do that. And hopefully at some point within the slow roll, they're going to get a sound. Now, those are several methods. But some main points that we want is where the lip plate is, it's just under the bottom lip. The edge of the tone hole should be touching the skin of the bottom lip. And depending on their lip size, it might be touching more chin than lip. That just depends on the student. Keeping the airstream steady is important, but in your first lesson, that's not something to expect. And for teachers, that's not something that we expect of our students on the first lesson. So even if you're just getting a very quick tone for a couple seconds, we're going to celebrate that. That's really exciting. The next thing is not getting discouraged. It takes most beginners a very long time to find the sweet spot to produce a tone. The people who are able to get it on the first try are the exception to the rule, which good for them, but not all of us had that experience. So I just wanted to say that and make space for that. And once they get a clear tone and they feel comfortable making a sound on the flute, and that might not happen in the first lesson. The entirety of the first lesson might be trying to figure out how to produce a tone on the flute, and that is absolutely okay. But if they're one of those students who's got it figured out in the first 10 minutes, then we've got to come up with some more to do. So if they've gotten a nice tone, we can try a few different exercises. We can do the head joint siren exercise where you slide a finger in and out of the head joint. It's fun. And all of this is really to build memory as to where this this object needs to be on your face, and to build memory in the very small muscles of your face, remembering how to form an embouchure. So it's not like we're just playing around. There is a purpose, but it feels like playing around, which is fun and wonderful. I will demonstrate the head joint siren in just a moment. I don't know if I've tried to play in front of this microphone, so we're going to see how this sounds. But this is an example of what I refer to as head joint sirens. Another fun exercise is to do an echo game where I will do different rhythmic patterns and they will respond back. Now, since we haven't taught them articulation yet, this is more of a gut puff exercise. So it's just, we're not doing the tutu, tuku, 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 none of that business. It's just all with our air. And here's what that might sound like. Then the student would repeat. And again, the student would repeat. And what this is doing is it's helping them also to develop the higher air speeds and higher air pressure needed to play the flute. When we're first picking up the instrument, it's hard to play for long periods of time. So by doing these bursts of air rather than expecting a clear, consistent tone on day one, it helps them get the feeling of how much air and muscle engagement is required to get a tone on the flute, hopefully without them getting lightheaded. Lightheadedness is always something to look out for. Students and teachers, I should have said this sooner, but once your student starts making a sound on the instrument, always suggest, you know, sit down if you need to. Let me know if you start to feel dizzy or lightheaded. And for students, the second you start to feel dizzy or lightheaded, tell your teacher. There's not going to be any shame or judgment around that. They're just going to be glad you told them before passing out and saving everyone a lot of concern. Next, I will dive into how to assemble the flute. Now, this is not necessarily because the student needs to assemble the flute in their practice time between the first and second lesson, but knowing how I was as a student, it's best that the student knows how to properly assemble the flute so they don't try to assemble it and end up damaging the instrument in the process. So we go back to the case, which still contains the body and the foot joint. We just have the head joint out. And I show them how we put it together and how we do that without damaging the instrument. So for our friends listening and following along, how to put the flute together. The head joint is the piece with a lip plate and a hole. A lip plate looks like a little almost circle of metal that's been welded on there, and then there's a hole in it, and that's all that there is to it. So if the piece that you're holding has keys on it, then it is not the head joint. So we start with the head joint and we find the body. Now the body is the biggest piece, so this should be pretty easy to find. It has several keys on the top and the side. Well, on the side, it really just has a couple keys, but on the top, it has tons of keys. And there are two sides to it. On one side, you'll find the end gets smaller. Circumference, for my friends who know that word, and for my friends who don't, I'll explain it shortly. The circumference is smaller. It's a way to express the width of a circle. A larger circumference means that the circle is bigger, and a smaller one means that it is smaller. So on one end of the body, there will be a smaller circle. And on the other end of the body, it's hard to notice, but it's a slightly larger. So you want to put the head joint inside of the body, slowly, carefully, not with too much force. And you're going to do so by putting it in the larger circle. Now, if it doesn't fit, either you're on the wrong side, so try the other side, or you already have an instrument issue and you need to take that to a local repair person or to your teacher. So now that we have the head joint in the body, all that's left is to add the foot joint. So how do we add the foot joint? Now, about half of the foot joint has keys and the other half is just metal. Might be more like 2/3 versus 1/3, but hopefully you'll see my point when you're looking at the instrument. The group of keys on that foot joint should be closest to the body. So that's the side that we're going to put onto the body. Now, because what's left is the side of the body that has a smaller circle, the foot joint is going to go over that smaller circle. And what we're going to do is that metal bar on the foot joint, we're going to line it up to be just about in the middle of the last key of the body. I'm going to say that one more time. We want that metal bar of the foot joint to be just about in the middle of the last key of the body. If that's uncomfortable, you can rotate it a little bit, but that's a really good starting place for our beginners. And congratulations, you have now put the flute together. So after that, that would really take up the entirety of a first lesson. Afterwards, I would go into how to hold the flute, which is not something I am confident I can describe very well on a podcast. I would recommend our friends who are following along to find a YouTube video explaining how to hold the flute. I think it would be best to learn that visually, and I can find a good video and link it in the description below. But I will do my best in describing it before I rely on other content. So we want to be sitting up tall and feel somewhat relaxed in our body. Now, that might sound like an oxymoron to some of you, because sitting up tall seems really tense and slouching seems relaxed. I don't know how to explain it, but that changes with age. So sit up tall, engage those core muscles. And you will bring your left arm around in front of your body. And it's going to be probably a few inches away from your chest, maybe more like your collarbone. It'll be up toward your collarbone, and you're going to bend at the elbow. And make sure that you're not bringing your shoulder all the way over to achieve that. Try to keep your shoulders where they are and just move the arm itself. Now your right hand, it's really simple. It's just going to move up. So we've got our left hand and our right hand. Our right hand, the palm, is going to be facing away from our body. For our left hand, the palm is going to be facing our body. So that is how we hold the flute, right? And for putting our fingers on keys, it's almost self-explanatory, except the flute has a few tricky moments. So the very first key on the body is super, super tiny. We don't put our finger on that one. We put it on the next key. And then we skip a key and it'll take some time to get used to the space in between the first and middle fingers. But so your pointer finger is on the second key of the body. Remember, we skipped that really tiny one. And then we skip the key right after that one and we put our middle finger down on that key. So our first and second fingers are one key away from each other. But thankfully, our ring finger goes down on the key right next to the one our middle finger's on. And then our pinky rests above the, it's a pinky key. It kind of looks like a teardrop and it's going to be sticking out. And if you're holding the flute right, it's your hand will naturally already kind of have your pinky over that. Now for the right hand, oh my gosh, I almost forgot about the thumb. So the thumb, there's a thumb key. And well, there are actually two thumb keys. One of them is over the circular key itself, and the other is kind of a longer mechanism that pushes that key down but isn't directly over it. So our friends who are following along, hopefully that makes sense. For when you're just starting the flute, I would recommend putting your thumb on that longer piece rather than right over the circle. I really hope that that's clear. If not, again, I'll make sure that there are some further resources on this. But so that's your left hand. Now, your right hand, your thumb is going to not rest on any keys. It's just going to rest on the bottom of the flute. Woohoo! So your I like to start with the ring finger. Your ring finger is on the very last key of the body. And it's simple. It's just 3, 2, 1. All of the fingers are right next to each other. So if you put that ring finger on the very last key of the body, then you can set your middle and pointer fingers on the keys next to it and you will be all set. Now you will notice that your pinky is hanging out on top of the first key that you can press on the foot joint, and that is absolutely where you want it to be. If your thumb on your right hand is feeling uncomfortable, experiment with moving it around. A good place for it to be is in between the pointer and middle fingers. Again, there's obviously going to be a flute in between them, so it can be a little bit hard for you to visualize. So maybe go to a mirror or find a friend or a teacher to help you find a good spot that's comfortable but also not going to cause any issues down the road. I hope that our friends following along were successful in learning how to hold the flute. Again, that's probably more than we would get through in the first lesson, but I wanted to give our friends who are maybe your flute has come in the mail before your band class starts and you want to get started over the summer. I wanted to provide you a way to do that. So what have we covered? Getting to know each other is an important part of a first lesson. Doesn't have to be anything super deep. Find a good way to find out if they can read music. I don't like to ask directly, but people might have different opinions on that. Work with just the head joint. Work to make the first sound and then work to imitate different gut puff patterns. Talk about assembling the flute, how to put it together. And we talked about how to hold the flute. And if there were time in the lesson, I would go on to introducing the notes B flat, A and G, starting with B flat. This totally depends on the student and their retention of the material that you're presenting. So it can be super easy to want to teach them every note in a C major scale or something, but that can be very overwhelming, especially for day one. So I like to limit myself to 3 notes, absolutely maximum, really more expecting time for just 1 note. And then before they head out, give them a bit of a practice plan. In that practice plan, I would say practice with the head joint and practice with the head joint every day and maybe a couple days throughout the week, practice putting the flute together and taking it apart. Now, the last thing I go over with them before they go, which is as they're packing up, is how to pack up. So you may need to show the student how the flute fits in their case. Maybe they forgot. It's okay if they did. And you'll want to show them how to swab their flute. So if they have a swab, there should be a rod in your flute case. probably in the outside pocket if it's a soft case. And there should also be some kind of piece of cloth. At the end of the rod, there should be a hole, and you'll want to thread the cloth through that hole and then cover the top of the rod, top being the side that you just threaded it through. Cover that with the cloth so the rod itself doesn't damage the inside of your flute. And gently, just as you're taking the flute apart, one piece at a time, put the rod with the cloth around it through those pieces to help collect any moisture that remains from the playing. So you'll do that for each piece as you're taking it apart and putting it back in its case. You can also take the flute apart, put it in its case, and then go through and swab one by one. It's totally up to the person. So that's what a typical first flute lesson would look like with me. I hope this gives a clear picture of what to expect and how much joy that first lesson can bring you. If you're a beginner, welcome to the flute fam. You've got this. We're so glad you're here. If you're a teacher, feel free to borrow any of these ideas or suggest other ones in the comments to this episode. And if you're a parent, your support makes a world of a difference. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Lessons Unlocked. I'd love to hear your stories and questions. Go ahead and submit any questions that you have via our website, lessonsunlockedpodcast.com. If any of you would like direct feedback on your playing, please submit a recording of your playing for the masterclass on our regular episodes, which you can also submit on lessonsunlockedpodcast.com. Until next time, keep practicing, keep learning, and keep unlocking your potential. Bye.